Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it, man. New York City, we're talking sports on The Fan. Shout out to my guy, Ann. He said, listening to your show last night, it's like the after hours. I'm like, what you mean? He's like, you know how there's parties, but like there's afters. Like not everybody makes it to afters. Not everybody knows what goes on at afters.
I'm like the after party kind
of thing? I'm like, that's a good way to put it. You know, this is a morning show, midday, afternoon. And then when you get to the night, I'm after the afternoon. I'm the after afters. I took it as a compliment. I don't know. Like almost like it's like a members only thing, but it's not. It's free flowing radio for all to hear and absorb. Keith McPherson, Alex's arm. We've got you till 9:45. There's plenty of games on. Knicks game is on my TV right now, loading in the next 30 minutes. I'm trying to get the Devils on right now. I would be over there. Shout out to all the Devils fans showing up. I just saw the crowd outside American Whiskey. I'm like, man, the FOMO. I just haven't been able to get over there. Haven't been able to get over there. December, I'm marking the calendar. I'm scheduling some appearances. It's been a good run. The Nets will play out in Phoenix against Kevin Durant and the Suns. So stay tuned for that. But we got to get to the phones at 888-808-1019. I opened up talking Giants, and we've been talking a lot about those Giants. They play tomorrow, and I got to hear from you guys and what you guys are thinking about their future. Near and far. Joe is in Jersey, first up on The Fan.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
It's going.
I want to hear what you think about this. I know a lot of people have been talking about Bill Belichick to the Giants, and everyone's kind of down on it. I really don't understand why people wouldn't like that. I mean, listen, you've been hiring terrible coaches year after year. Your team's been, you've been the laughing stock of the NFL. What do you got to lose? You sign him. Okay, you're not. It doesn't turn your team around, but I mean, the upside is there, don't you think?
Yeah, I think instead of like it'd be a change, right? Instead of a revolving door of unproven guys, now you fire these guys after 3 years, you go get a proven guy. I mean,
bring in Belichick. I mean, worst comes to worst, you stay bad. Okay, fine. It's not like anything's changing.
Yeah, but I don't know if Belichick would stay bad. He's trying to win. And I think he's going to, you know, he'd come in, he'd change a lot. I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of. Thanks for the call, Joe. Like, if you go Bill Belichick, he's coming in and he wants complete control. And John Mara's going to give him complete control. And it's going to change a lot of things. It's going to change a lot of things for the guys in there. The culture, like, talk about a culture shock. The culture or lack thereof with the Giants. Like, come on. Like, Bill Belichick is old school. Do your job. Patriots. You know, I remember, what was the running back? This is a trivia. Someone called me. I won't look it up. There was a running back. There was a running back out of Notre Dame that played for them years ago. Not more than 10 years ago, I don't want to say. I remember he scored like 3 touchdowns in his first game. He burst on the scene and everybody was raving about the guy. And then he was like late to practice or late to meetings and he got benched. That's just how they roll. That's just how Bill Belichick had it. Like, I don't care how many touchdowns you scored the week before. We don't need you. No one is bigger than the team. You don't get to break the rules. You don't get special treatment. Yeah, somebody call 888-808-1019 with that trivia question. I won't look up the name. He was a big burly back. I can't tell you what year. I want to say he came out of Notre Dame, and if no one calls and hits me with it, I'll come back with it before we break. Sam is out in Rockland County. What's up, Sam? You're next.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going. What's up, man?
Yeah, so the thing is, I'm Australian, and I'm studying in the U.S.,
okay.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, like, if you guys could, like, compare, like, American football to Australian football, like the differences between the two kind of sports.
Rugby?
No, not rugby, Australian football.
Nah, I'm not the guy for that. You would know more than me. I'm sure, like, you would be able to, I couldn't tell you one thing about Australian football.
What about rugby? You guys know rugby?
I know that once in a while, rugby players come over here and think that they can play in the NFL. They play in training camp, and they never materialize.
Okay, so another question I want you to ask you guys is, say, rugby players play without protection, and American football players play with protection. So I was just wondering why that would, like what makes Americans feel like they need that much protection when they play, while Australians feel like they don't need that much protection when they play.
It's a way different game. It's not, you know, lining up formations, letting plays develop is more free-flowing. You should always use protection. And then, I don't know, man, with the amount of concussions and season-ending injuries and, like, DeMar Hamlin, Everett from the Bills back in the day, like, I don't know, it's a different kind of game. The collisions are not the same in rugby, Australian football, the way they are in American football. You absolutely need helmets, shoulder pads, thigh pads, knee pads.
Okay, I understand. And would you say the injuries in football would be more serious than injuries that happen in rugby or vice versa?
I think they would be the same. They're human beings. I think they'd be similar. I've never watched Australian football, rugby. I've never seen an injury report from over there, but I assume those guys sprain their ankles the same as NFL players do. I'm assuming those guys can tear their ACLs, pop an Achilles, separate a shoulder, break a collarbone the same way NFL players do. It's, you know, human anatomy.
I understand. Right, very well. Okay. And one more question quick is the rule that once the quarterback throws the ball, you can only throw it backwards.
Yeah, you can't. Like, that's just a forward lateral thing. Like,
so in rugby, that's the same rule. And like the only thing I never understood about either rugby or football is, and if I'm running forward, then why am I throwing the ball backwards?
Because you're about to get tackled to the ground, which would end the play.
But if I got a guy who's in front of me and he's open, why can't I throw to that guy?
Because you're past the line of scrimmage.
But I'm trying to get it forward, not backwards, though. So what's the point?
Once you pass that line of scrimmage, you can't go backwards. It's only forward.
The ball goes forward, or I go forward, or the ball goes backwards.
It's different rules, brother. Thanks for the call, Sam. That was a brain buster. That was a perplexing Pegasus we had to ride for no reason on Thanksgiving Eve. Ian is in Belmar, New Jersey. Maybe he knows the answer to my trivia question.
I think I got it. I'm driving and I'm going through fantasy football over the years. And I'm like, who is this guy? Jonas Gray. I'm pretty sure that's who it is.
That sounds right. And I Google him. Yep, yeah, Jonas Gray. Yeah, remember he burst on the scene. And I remember in fantasy, everybody trying to get him. And the guy that got him, it was a quick pop and nothing else.
No, because I also remember, as a Giants fan, that was I want to say that was the year. I remember weird things and forget what I ate for lunch yesterday. I think that was the year the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure he didn't play because they had a cast of characters running back. It was like, you know, who's next on the list to get 20 carries.
It was a couple years after. Thanks for the call, Ian. Now I got a bunch of people responding to that. Here's Brenton West Milford. It was Jonas Gray in 2014. It wasn't the year of the Super Bowl. What else you got, Brent? I know now everybody's coming down. The questions are all lined up with the answer.
It was Jonas Gray, 4 touchdowns against Indianapolis, and he got benched the following week.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I have it in front of me. Now I Googled it. November 16, 2014, he rushed for 201 yards, franchise record, 4 touchdowns on 37 carries. He was late for a meeting the next week. Bill Belichick said, I don't care.
Oh, it's such a mess. So funny. Glad I didn't get him in fantasy, though.
Yeah, I didn't get him either. The waivers, just, you know, it happened before it could get to me. Thanks for the call, Brent. I woke up today, and I didn't get Gus Edwards. I got Jeremy Nichols, but I wanted Gus Edwards because now J.K. Dobbins is out, and I've been streaming running backs all year. I went heavy wide receivers this year. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. What I learned is some people do. I was talking fantasy yesterday. I got a couple texts. Couple tweets like, no, we play a lot of fantasy football. Talk that fantasy football. I drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown, cha-ching, Drake London, good, Malik Nabers, good, George Pickens, Debo Samuel. I was able to get DeMarcus Robinson off the waiver wire. Like, I have a bunch of receivers because I'm in a league with two flexes where you absolutely have to have that. But running back-wise, I was putting in, I had Gus Edwards in the beginning of the year. Rico Dowdle, Zach Moss. Now I'm streaming like Cam Akers. It's not good. It's not good. But I'm in first place, so it's good enough. Another Jonas Gray call. Dean is in Farmingdale. Got to let you chime in on that. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was gonna tell you it was Jonas Gray in 2014. I didn't have to look it up on my phone like the other guy. I kind of knew because I was one of those guys that picked him up.
Yeah, I know somebody out there was good. I didn't look it up until I got a call, but I knew somebody out there knew. Multiple people.
Yeah, he was. I think he ran for like 230 plus and 4 touchdowns, and Belichick went, "Yeah, you missed the meeting. You're done."
And that's what people want to come into the Giants building next year.
Listen, I'm in New York. All my friends are Giants and Jets fans. I've been a diehard Bucs fan since I'm 4 years old. My dad gave me a Mike Allstott jersey.
Oh, you enjoyed that last week.
I did. I was laughing my ass off sitting there with my friends. I'm like, our defense. I'll be real. Bucs defense is terrible. But I was going to ask you what your take is on the NFC South. I think the Falcons fall apart miserably. And the Bucs come out of nowhere, and not really out of nowhere. They're only a game behind, but I think they're going to take the division.
Yeah,
and I might be a little biased.
No,
but I
you're
think
not
the
biased.
Falcons,
they just had a rough go at it. NFL, any given Sunday, I have a drop talking about how these games are close. They had 4 games in a row where they scored more than 20 points and lost all 4 of them, found a way to lose them. I think the bye week came at the right time. The Giants certainly came at the right time, and now they know that they have to win out. They have to get right, and when you look at their schedule – they play the Panthers, the Raiders. Like, that's 2 wins right there.
They play the Panthers twice. So
And they have the Saints coming up. They have the Cowboys. Like, they can win all those games. Chargers might be a little challenging, but they're not world beaters either. Like, the Buccaneers could rip off 5-6 wins in a row and be the champion of that division.
No, I agree with that. I think I might be a little biased because I'm a Bucs fan, but they need to find themselves a pass rusher. That's the only thing I want. Yeah, Diaby's decent. But he's always banged up, and Vita Vea, I mean, he's a good run stopper.
Yeah,
but
he's a boss in the middle, but he's not an edge rusher. He's clogging up the middle, but you need somebody coming off the edge, yeah.
Oh, one more. I know
what
I'm rambling on.
What happened with Kalijah Kansi? I'm trying to think who they drafted. Kalijah Kansi, that kid out of, wasn't he out of?
Yeah, he was out of Pitt. Yeah, D-tackle out of Pitt. He flashes, but his calf is always screwed up. He's always got, he missed the first 4 or 5 games his rookie season, missed the first 4 or 5 games this season, so he can't stay fully healthy. He's good, but he hasn't shown those flashes yet. But one more thing. I say this to all my friends all the time. I don't understand what the obsession is with Rashad White. Bucky Irving, and Sean Tucker are far better than him in both aspects of the game, and yet they still want to give him the ball. They're starting to give it to Bucky Moore, who's by far the better rusher with the football. I mean, Rashad's decent out of the backfield, but I don't know. To me, it should be an 80-20 split between Bucky and Rashad White and sprinkling a little bit of Sean Tucker in there. But
yeah,
that's just me. It's
not his contract. They might have some kind of loyalty to him. That's like he might be like a really good locker room guy. He might have, really good work ethic, but it's not the contract. He's got one more year on the contract. It's not a lot of money for him. Bucky Irvin, it was a steal in the draft. Unfortunately, I root for the Dallas Cowboys, and they gave away a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. Could have had Bucky Irvin.
Yeah, they could have had a lot of running backs, but they thought Rico Dowdle was the guy, but
yeah, Dalvin Cook, yeah, no, yeah. Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, yeah. Bring back Zeke for his 18th year at 300 pounds.
Thanks for the call, Dean. 888-808-1019. Now we have conversation flowing with Jonas Gray, random Australian football. Let's get back to that. I don't know where that Australian football like. Can you guys know Australian football players? I can't name one. I don't know the name of their league. I don't know how I would go about watching that. Like I said, the only reference that I have is every NFL season or every other. It's like, oh, like there was a guy with the Chiefs. Uh-oh, the Chiefs got this rugby player. Let's see what they convert him into. Like, and it just never materializes. Like, none of them actually become NFL stars. Tim is out in Montclair. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I want to talk about the rugby Australian football stuff.
Educate us if you can. Yeah, help me.
Yeah, no, I played in college and I played a little bit after college. Now I'm too old. I'll get destroyed. But what I think you may be missing is that the hits are just as aggressive, but if you hit without pads, you're going to feel it too. And if you hit with your head down, you get a yellow card.
You know,
like similar to soccer, you get a yellow card.
The NFL,
a red card.
Yeah, you can't use your helmet as a weapon. You can't duck your head like that.
Right. And I think that's what helps, you know, teaching kids. You know, I coach rugby. I used to coach rugby. Teaching kids not to hit with their head down. And if you don't have the protection, if you don't have the pads, you don't have the fancy helmets that have been proven not to be effective to concussions, you hit the right way. And you don't lead with your head. You don't tackle like a missile.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying with the
technique in Australian football to tackle. I mean, they have technique in the NFL, but a lot of these guys are just trying to get guys down, but you're saying in Australian football, rugby, they have specific technique for tackling without pads in those scrums.
You have to. Because if you don't have a helmet and you don't have pads, you're going to F yourself up before you F the other guy up. You know? You're going to get hurt before you hurt him. But when you have a helmet and pads, I do both. My kids do both. They do rugby and football. So I understand the difference. And it's, if you don't have the pads, then you're going to tackle them a proper way. And if you ask me how, no one's going to ask me, but if you do, how to go at the issue of concussions in the NFL, I think it's to take pads away, not to add more.
Thanks for the call. You're on to something. A couple things that you made me think about. I've been on this airwaves talking about how the future is flag football. The NFL is already so cupcake soft. They flag guys for like throwing blocks, unnecessary roughness. Like, you can't do too much out there outside of like tackling a guy, get him to the ground, like leave him alone. We've already seen them take away the Pro Bowl as far as like, we grew up watching like Sean Taylor lay out a punter. Rest in peace, Sean Taylor. The anniversary of his passing just hit. But you also made me think about, you know, not that just the league, they will take away pads, they'll make it flag football, like we're heading that way. You also made me think about growing up and like it being Thanksgiving Eve and how many guys are going to get together tomorrow for a Thanksgiving football game where they'll play two-hand touch, they'll play flag, but some young guys are crazy out there. They're playing tackle football, no pads. 888-808-1019. Call me up if you got one of those games scheduled. I've retired. I've absolutely retired. Growing up in Ocean Township, where I'm from, I grew up in Middlebrook Apartments, where we all have fields in front of our apartments. We would just line up 4-on-4, 5-on-5, 6-on-6. Somebody be automatic quarterback. You catch a ball, you get tackled, you're down there. And, like, we play tackle football, no pads. You come in the house, you have permanent green grass stains in your jeans. You come in the house bleeding. You got to explain to your mom, like, were you fighting? No, we were playing football. Like, I can remember guys getting tackled and hitting their head on the concrete, busting their heads open, like, all right, now we got to call 911. My boy Zeke, shout out to Zeke. Zeke went to West Virginia to play baseball. He was strictly a baseball player. He played football with us. He's returning a kickoff. Somebody goes head up with him, boom, into his forearm, breaks his forearm. Shout out to Danny. Shout out to Uncle Jay if you're listening, because you know I'm telling the truth. Danny was so mad at him because then he couldn't go to his baseball tournament playing outside football, which was like football slash rugby because we had no pads. Anthony Pelea, rest in peace. Shout out to the Pelea family. I remember a Thanksgiving football game that we played where he tore the ligament in his thumb trying to tackle someone, like yanked his thumb the wrong way back. I've seen a bunch of those injuries. mark my words, you're listening to me right now. Somebody's going to be playing football tomorrow somewhere with no pads, even if it's flag or two-hand touch, and they're going to get hurt. They might be hospitalized because, I don't know, this is something that we do as guys. We don't let it go. You'll be 10 years removed, 15 years removed, 20 years removed from playing high school football. But here comes the Turkey Day game where you're ready to just line it up, no pads, no helmets, and tackle somebody or push somebody, and somebody's going to be hurt. Think twice about it. Be safe out there. What I started to do was just drink heavy on Thanksgiving Eve, where I was too hungover to play in the game the next day. I opted out. 888-808-1019. So now we've got calls on Jonas Gray, Australian football. We took a long call in the Tampa Bay Bucks. Sean is in Brooklyn to follow up that call. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, my man Keith? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I didn't know you played at JMU.
Yes, sir.
Oh, look at that. I played at UMass. I hated playing you guys, man. I can't lie.
You guys came to us, but I never got to go up to UMass. Shout out to Brandon London, who played there. Victor Cruz played
there.
They never recruited me.
Yeah, UMass is a weird place, man. Honestly, they only really recruit in-state guys. I got lucky because I'm from Brooklyn, and they didn't go through a scholarship I had for Rutgers. And actually, I got a scholarship last minute over there at UMass. We turned it around. We made the national championship and all of that. Mm-hmm. Brandon London was one of our big receivers, and so was Victor Cruz at that time as well when we made that little run to the national championship, but we lost to Appalachian State that year.
Got you. I don't know what's in the background, but if you can help us out before you continue with the call, there's something in the background. I think it went away.
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I don't know if you're on speaker or what that is.
Yeah, I'm driving home. But I just wanted to talk quickly about the game that I went to Sunday. That game was disgusting, man, for the Giants. You know, it's the first time that I can honestly say that that NFL game sounds like a high school game. It was absolutely disgusting. I mean, shout out to Liam Cohen. He's the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay, who was my quarterback at UMass. That's the only real reason why I went to that game. But otherwise than that, that was the only thing to really watch at that game. It was absolutely disgusting.
Thanks for the call, Sean. We know. A lot of us knew beforehand. When the spread was -6, -5.5, I was telling everybody, tease it up. I was telling everybody that, you know, Tampa's coming off a bye week, but they've been gearing up for this Giants team, and their team is intact, and they're getting Mike Evans back. And Bucky Irving, you know, everything kind of happened how it was going to happen. Then you look at the Giants. They go to Tommy DeVito. You got to ask Dabes about the play calling in the first half. They didn't really have the opportunity to run too many plays in the first half. That Giants defense out there doing cardio. Yeah, that's in the past now. And tomorrow, we will watch them play against the Dallas Cowboys, who I don't think they're better than the Buccaneers. You know, I really don't. Me watching the Cowboys this year, they're a disappointment. They're hard to root for. Coming up at 9 o'clock, my guy RJ will chime in. And RJ is one of the like leading voices, people to talk Dallas Cowboys football. He's had me on his show. He's the manager and editor in chief of Blogging the Boys, covering the Dallas Cowboys for SB Nation. He's been doing it for years. He pops in on Kay Adams' show. He's a diehard Cowboys fan. And we'll talk about the injury report. We'll talk about the Dallas game last week with the Commanders and what we expect with Cooper Rush and CeeDee Lamb and Rico Dowdle and Luke Schoonmaker and Kevontae Turpin and what Giants fans can look out for. Maybe if you're feeling froggy, you place a little bet on the Dallas Cowboys. I would not bet the Giants. Maybe some props. Maybe let's see if, you know, Drew Lock's passing yards are low. If Malik Nabers' prop is low, maybe I'll go that way. But, yeah, you know, that's coming up at 9 o'clock. Let's get back to the calls right now. Bob is in Vero Beach, Florida on the Fan in New York City.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. So growing up in the Bronx in the 50s, not only did we play tackle football without pads or anything, but we played it on concrete.
Wait, you played in the street like that? Tackling people in the street, not on the grass line, that's another level.
No, this would be like schoolyards and stuff like that, made out of concrete versus the asphalt that's on the roads.
Okay, but either way, that's reckless. But as a kid, that's what you do. But like,
I know.
To get scraped up like that is crazy. We only play tackle football in the grass.
Well, like I said, we did it without pads on concrete. So, but one of the things he asked you about the similarity between the NFL and rugby or something like that is the non-contact injury, okay? Like you were talking about, like the ACLs and the hamstring can go on anybody. I mean, you could be walking down the street, it'll go on you.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be hard contact, but those guys are nuts. ESPN used to have those leagues on years ago, but they stopped running it probably due to lack of viewership.
Yeah, and just competition. There's a ton of other things on. Thanks for the call, Bob. Yeah, that's crazy. You know, to think about the things we did when we were younger, I almost never, like, even when I go back to my old hood and drive through, I don't ever see kids playing outside anymore. I don't ever see pickup football games. Like, growing up in Middlebrook Apartments off Deal and Rustic in Ocean Township, there were a bunch of kids that played football, street football out there in the grass out there. And, like, we grew up tackling like that. And then when we got to Pop Warner and got to freshman football, JV, and high school football, we were some of the better players because we played like literally in the street. Some of the best players at our high school were kids that came out of the apartment complexes. Man, I remember being a kid and riding my bike to the other apartment complex in our suburb, Twinbrook Apartments, and playing Middlebrook versus Twinbrook Apartments, like a battle royale Super Bowl street football game with the best of the best. Those were the days. We didn't have cell phones and we didn't have apps and we weren't on TikTok and nobody had an iPad. We just had bikes and footballs and competitiveness.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. The kids say it hits different. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking everything from Turkey Day football games in the street, tackle football in the concrete, rugby, Australian football. Shout out to Ross in Bergen County. He actually had a good pull. During the break, I was on Twitter. Shout out to my guy, Dre. Everybody on Twitter that tweets at me during the show. He mentioned Jordan Mailata, who's blocking for Saquon down there in Philly. He said, that's the only Aussie I can think of. And I said, oh, yeah, they put him on the offensive line. It works, or it worked for him. It doesn't work when they seem to think that these guys can be tight ends or kick returners or ball carriers. It just never translates. But, yeah, I don't know. I tried to talk about Drew Lock. I think the only Giants call I got was about Bill Belichick. And that got us to a trivia question about Jonas Gray. And then I took a couple calls on the Buccaneers. We're over that. It's time to focus on the Dallas Cowboys. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving wherever you are. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Mix in a water. Don't send that text. If you're doing anything on your phone later, just close iMessage. Hit the Uber, Lyft app. Get home safely. 888-808-1019. Moose is in Jamaica. Back on the Fan.
Here, Keith.
Here, what up?
Chilling, boss. Real quick, this isn't necessarily a Thanksgiving game, football game I played on wet grass after a early autumn rainstorm, but I was trying to make an over-the-shoulder catch, pickup tackle football game on grass in a New York City park. I tried to make an over-the-shoulder touchdown catch, and I kind of slipped on the wet grass and the leaves. Basically felt my whole weight of my body crash underneath me. So instead of breaking my leg, right, I tumbled. I, like, tucked and rolled. And in that process, while trying to keep my feet in bounds, I kind of tore my ACL, MCL, and PCL instead of breaking my leg. So much so that my knee was swollen like a watermelon for a month, didn't get the surgery, used Coltax, and electronic stimulation to heal it. Because I just didn't want to deal with that whole surgery nonsense. You know, like, and technically it still itches when it rains. It's itching right now. It's like my calf is itching
How
right now.
How many years ago was this?
This was 2013. When I was starting getting into soccer.
Yeah, it is what it
so
is
I haven't
now.
Really been playing sports since.
Probably should have got anyway. That looked at. Probably should have got that checked out.
You know what? The thing is, it healed perfectly fine. I can still dunk a basketball. I'm 6 feet tall.
All right, you got it. You're right. You got it. Ice pack.
Yeah, but real quick on the Giants, like obviously, can you not tell we're trying to lose games on purpose? All these irate Giants fans, like calm down.
I came on yesterday and I said, just trust the process. See it through. It's going to suck, but like, the silver lining is you're a quarterback away, essentially. You're going to get a quarterback. Like, you have to tank properly this year. You didn't do it right last year. This is a full-on tank.
Yeah, like for my heart's sake, I did put money on the Giants again, but I'm hoping they lose every game.
Yeah, cash that out. Cash that out. I mean, we're seeing images of...
I'm not going to touch them on the parlay this weekend. Probably going to hit the Lions, probably... Kansas City or something like that, and two or three other teams. Anyway,
Thanks for the call, Moose. Cash that Giants bet out. The Dallas Cowboys have not won a game at home, and they are smelling blood in the water, and a backup quarterback, and a team that lost the locker room, a team that's tanking, and an offensive line that's in shambles, and a defense that can't stop anybody. They're not stopping CeeDee Lamb. Nobody stops CeeDee Lamb. Bet CeeDee Lamb to run the ball. Check that bet out. I'll have to do that. Let me put a note in my notes, see what CeeDee Lamb's rushing prop is. He's going to definitely run the ball. I was looking at Brian Baldinger break down how much CeeDee's in the backfield, how much they target him. He's their best offensive player, and they paid him to be. Rico Dowdle is mid. And then they got a bunch of guys like Jalen Brooks, Jalen Tolbert, Jonathan Mingo, Luke Schoonmaker. The Cowboys are trash, but they should be able to beat the Giants. That's another thing, too. I spent so much money, wasted so much money on last week that I'm like, damn, I didn't even think that right away. There's going to be three Thursday games, a Friday game that I'm going to want to bet. Like, I guess I was trying to hit a FanDuel. Like, FanDuel, what's up with the bonus bets? It's been a while since y'all ran me bonus bets. They always have these boosts. But I'm like, where are the promotions to get the $5 bonus bet or the no sweat bet? Where are the bonus bets at? 888-808-1019. What else from the Giants game? Not the one that just passed. This one coming up. Yeah, it's all going to be about how they respond. Do they compete? Do they keep it close? The play calling, the offensive game plan. Do they get Malik Neighbors? I guarantee. I would drop the first play. You script the first couple plays. First play would be a play to get Malik Neighbors open. And if he's going against Josh Butler from the USFL, like, come on. We got to check that injury report. Let's get back to the phone, though. Joe is in East Meadow. What's up, Joe? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. You know, all this talk about the playground football, some of those teams could probably compete with that Giants team that was on the field this past Sunday.
We could field the team. We could go walk outside and field the team that could compete with them.
Yeah, I think so. You know, so I'm a little torn on the Giants, right? I think during the season, right, I was first couple weeks focused on keeping Dable, keeping Shane. I'm, after seeing the way they performed on Sunday, quitting on the coach, no real spark, and then having to watch Saquon Barkley on Sunday night run rampant all over the field, I have real questions about the regime. And now I'm in full panic mode, blow up the whole thing. I want your thoughts on, is Shane the right guy to pick this quarterback, or are we going to kind of live in limbo? I don't know that any coach takes this job if we have a GM that's sitting at the helm. And he probably, the coach probably needs some say in the process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're in a tough spot as a fan right now. You're questioning everyone and everything. You're questioning the GM. You're questioning the coach. You're questioning the pairing of the GM and the coach. But the question you asked about picking the quarterback, like, we're seeing images of Joe Shane and Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, at the practice of the Colorado Buffaloes. They're looking at Shador Sanders. I think it's pretty clear. Right. Like, they want to get Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders next year. And I think he's a can't-miss prospect. I mean, the pedigree he's coming from, his dad. I know it's not a good look that we just saw him, like, shove a ref, but not for nothing. Like, the ref let him get absolutely beat up and stomped on.
Right.
So I understood that, and that was coming off of him taking that shot to the knees, so the kid was frustrated. He's a competitor. I think he is a really good, polished quarterback already. I think the Giants are looking at – I mean, the Giants right now are picking number two. So they're looking at, right, you know, Jacksonville not taking a quarterback, and if Shador Sanders is the number one quarterback, he's going to be a Giant. Now the question is – does Joe Shane get to make that pick, and does Brian Dable get to coach him up? And I think they do. I think John Mara has gone through enough that he's going to see it through, so these guys at least get to pick their own quarterback, mold their own quarterback, and win or lose with their own quarterback.
I think that's probably the right path. The Giants just have had no consistency in the coaching staff for the past decade. Frustrating to have to restart it again. You think Deion would be able to coach this team? You think John Mara would sign up to bring Deion in?
No, I'm like, it's so inflated. Deion is a college coach, and he's not even one of the top ranking college coaches. He hasn't been doing it long enough. And like, I love prime time. I love the Deion effect and what he's been able to do in Boulder. I went out there for the 2022 All-Star Game, and I rode out to Boulder way before I even knew Deion was going to be out there, and I've seen all the celebrities and the money that he's brought out there, but I don't look at him as an NFL coach. I don't look at him as a college coach. I mean, he's in his second year with the Buffaloes. He was at Jackson State. I mean, they just laid an egg against Kansas. How come you didn't have those kids ready to go in Kansas City? They're playing in Arrowhead. How do you let them get rolled like that? What was that kid, Devin Neal, scored like four touchdowns on him? Where you at, coach?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you're right. Good point. Well, yeah. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call, Joe. No disrespect to Deion. I love what he did out there. I love even him standing up for his players. He called out Travis Hunter not getting nominated for the Jim Thorpe Award. He calls out the media. He calls out the bias that people have because they don't like him and they don't like his son and they don't like what they represent. And NIL and transfer portal and rappers being in the locker room and on the field and social media and all of the views and followers and all the coverage that they have. But listen, Deion, to me, like, he's only coached in college with his son at quarterback. That's why what he did. If you guys follow it, there, you can go on Amazon, they have the whole story. When Deion's son was getting recruited, He felt like he was getting a raw deal, wasn't getting a fair shake. And obviously, feeling like his son had the talent and potential to be what we're seeing now, he was very guarded with him. So much so that he went from coaching him in high school to finding a historically black university that would allow him to come in and coach there with no other coaching experience at the college level. But he's prime time. He's Deion. So with that, they know, brings, I don't know, Young Dolph, rest in peace, Gilly the Kid, Michael Irvin, Warren Sapp, you know, all these NFL legends and rappers that he's connected with. Not long ago, we were watching the combine with Deion Sanders on field with NFL Network. We were watching Deion Sanders on Sundays and NFL game day. He was at NFL Network. But then once his son started playing high school football, he coached him there. He coached him at Jackson State. They had 2 years there. He did what he could there. I mean, they fumbled the rock there. They were supposed to go undefeated that year. The last year at Jackson State, they were supposed to go undefeated. They lost the game. And then they come into the Pac-12 last year, and there's a ton of hype. They start off 3-0. They crash and burn. And then even this year, they should have been more prepared for Nebraska. They should have been more prepared for Kansas. And I don't know. Right now, they were just in a chance to control their destiny, and they did not seize the opportunity. Their defense was terrible. There's a lot of holes. And for me, looking at Deion, I'm like, man, as famous as you are, as big as you are, how are you not able to recruit? You know what it is? Because a lot of these kids, especially with the transfer portal and the NIL, they want to go to places that have these boosters and the money. Colorado doesn't have that. It's not like Deion's paying these kids out of his pocket. And then also, they want to go somewhere established like Alabama, like Georgia, even like Oregon, Texas, Ohio State. Not an upstart team that before Deion got there, Deion was 1-11 and basically told all those kids, get packing, whatever. All I'm saying is this. You do not take on Shedeur Sanders, who you will draft, and you'll draft him, and you do not have to take on his pops as the head coach. Brian Daboll can remain the head coach, or if you feel like this season absolutely is a mess the rest of the way, where these guys no longer listen to Brian Daboll, he's not coaching them up, they're not competitive at all, and you feel like you need a new voice in the room, you can fire him, keep the GM, and let the next coach come in and draft Shedeur Sanders. But the way it's looking, it's Giants picking at number 2. The Jacksonville Jaguars picking at number 1. They're not going to take a quarterback. The Giants most likely are going to lose out. And you better lose out because the Las Vegas Raiders are right next to you too. And they're also looking for a quarterback, right? Daniel Jones didn't want to go there because he knows, hey, I won't have a chance to compete here next year because they're going to draft Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I think there is a high chance, a high possibility that we see the Giants and Raiders picking next to each other and both of them taking quarterbacks in the top 3 of the draft. 888-808-1019. Bobby in Belmore back on the Fan with me. What's up, Bobby?
Well, I don't know. Don't count out the Jets. 5-5, Keith. Good evening. 5-2.
Don't count the Jets losing out.
They could lose every game this Jets. Yeah, it could be fighting for the number 1 pick. But I want to get to that in a second about Sanders' son. You know, Bill Nunn, the Steelers, I don't know if you're familiar with him. I mean, you're an African-American quarterback, so you might be. You're a great African-American quarterback. Yeah, I shouldn't say African, I'm sorry. So my point is that he recruited for Chuck Noll. All that front four steel curtain came from black colleges,
yeah,
as well as John Stallworth. And it came to point where Chuck Noll wanted to draft Stallworth, the head of Swin Swan, at number 1, but Bill Nunn told him he'll still be there at 4. So, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, black colleges, there would be no steel curtain. There'd be no steel dynasty.
Yeah, there's a ton of great players. Walter Payton, yeah, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, Shannon Nunn, Sharp.
Bill Nunn started it with the Steelers. And, you know, he was ahead of the game. And they were hiding these guys. They wouldn't hardly show the film. And, you know, they would hold the film. It was just very crazy. But anyway, let me get to Deion. If the Jets, I'm going to bring in the Jets because their schedule, you know, they could lose every game coming up. And do you think Deion's going to let his son go to the Jets? It's
no.
Going to be similar to Eli Manning. You think Archie Manning did not want him going to San? No, right. So that could be a big issue, you know, with this current ownership. And, you know, I'm not crazy with Deion. I know he pushed the referee, he was frustrated, he got hit in the knees. But that Kansas game sort of dropped to me Sanders a little bit. But if he does, he will be picked.
Did you watch the whole game?
He was getting killed.
Yeah, I think he was just frustrated, and I don't mind the frustration, especially in his position where I feel like those referees, they were not giving him any calls and breaks, and quarterbacks are supposed to be protected, man. That shot that he took in the open field where that guy ducked his head and took his legs out, that could have ended his career. Like, that could have been terrible. And then the next time where he did get up and shove the ref was where you saw guys piling on and getting their extra licks in and getting a knee to his helmet. And, like, it's like, come on, you can't let these guys do that to me. It's not legal.
I think he is a Todd because he is Deion Sanders' son.
Of course.
I'm not blaming Deion for that. Deion is Deion, you know. So, but it's just interesting that the Jets could be involved in this. So don't count out the Jets. I looked at their schedule and they could lose every game. And it could be a four-way battle with the Carolina and Vegas for that number one pick with the Giants. But also with baseball, I don't understand Snell. I guess I don't know if he would have did well here in New York, but the Yankees need pitching. I mean, Rodan, half his starts in the postseason were horrible. You can't trust that guy. Cole has a bad elbow. Schmidt can't pitch distance. Stroman is Stroman. And Cortez is injury prone as well as Gill. So I mean, they need, I think, another pitch, especially if Cole gets, and there's a chance that
they need another starter. They need another frontline starter. They needed one this year. Yeah. They need another guy behind Cole.
Yeah, they said they were in on Snell, and they offered him a contract last year.
They're in on Corbin Burns. They're in on Max Fried. They're in on Walker Buehler. But everybody knows it's Juan Soto that has to go, and I'm hoping that he goes in a week.
I understand that. So that means if you got Juan Soto, you're not going to go after a pitcher?
No, they have to. And Hal said so much that, no, we're not just going to stop at signing Juan Soto. There's other holes that need to be filled. There's a few, actually.
But if they keep waiting, why don't Burns get signed and Fry get signed? Why wait?
If somebody wants to be a Yankee, they'll wait. Thanks for the call, Bobby. If you want to be a Yankee, if you want to pitch for the Yankees, like, you're not signing with another team. You're going to wait. You also want Juan Soto to be on the team if you're joining the Yankees. 888-808-1019. So now we have the Giants calls coming in and conversation about the Giants. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, this top draft pick, their quarterback of the future, what will and won't happen depending on what they do the rest of the season. Now let's introduce the conversation around Juan Soto, which it's just so corny, man. Like, I'm good on it. I don't need to see that, like, the Yankees up their offer. So what? It's going to go back and forth, and they're going to use the media for the next week. Just hit me up when he signs, when he makes his decision. Because, like, you know, now I'm starting to get Soto fatigue, where as much as I want the guy to be a Yankee, as much as I understand that the Yankees need him in front of Judge, as much as I saw with my own eyes what he did for the fans, what he did for the team, the at bat against Hunter Gaddis that sent the Yankees to the World Series to end that 15-year drought, I'm starting to get fatigue with the Juan Soto sweepstakes where I no longer care. Just get it done. I don't need to hear about a mystery team or offers being upped or whatever. It's nonsense. Just get us there.